Well, welcome to all, particularly our guests from our neighboring parishes who join us today, as we offer this Mass on the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Know that you're always welcome to come and to be with us at any time in the future. You don't have to wait for a holy day. We always have room for more. This last Saturday evening, I took part in a special event. It was a fundraiser for St. Michael Catholic Radio. And yes, we do have a Catholic radio station here in the Tulsa area. You can pick it up on 102.9 if you're living in the south part of Tulsa County. I think 94.9, thank you, 94.9, both on FM if you're more here in the Midtown area. This fundraiser was a special event, and they had close to 300 people that were there, and the big part of it was to have a panel of four priests to take questions from those that are attending, and I was one of the four priests. Now, there was no pre-screening of the questions. We had no idea what was going to be asked, expect, A, B, C, and D to kind of, study up on some things. So going in there completely cold, I'm up there on a stage with the other priest, close to 300 people in attendance, and Bishop Slattery is sitting right in the front. Okay, no pressure, right? Yeah. The only way I could be under more pressure if my mom was there sitting next to him, which fortunately she was not. Now, it went all right, but a number of questions that came, and it also went over for well over an hour. So by the time I was far more exhausted than I expected to be. But some of the questions that came up, one was about original sin and the first man, the first woman, in which we hear about in today's first reading from Genesis, that the harmony that exists with the first man, the first woman in paradise, and the Genesis puts it in wonderfully poetic language, that the man walks with God in the cool of the evening in the garden. That harmony, that unity, that being in communion with God. And we hear that that unity, that harmony is shattered. That sin and death enter into the world because the first man, the first woman fall for the great lie from the serpent that they don't need God. They can be in the place of God. And that harmony is broken. And pretty much we could think of the rest of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament together, as God attempting to bring back that harmony, to restore it. God, through the covenants with Abraham and his descendants, with Moses, with the Ten Commandments on Sinai, the Exodus, and then later through the Judges, the prophets and the kings. And none of that really works out as it should. So kind of like maybe think today, you can't find good help anymore, so you got to go do the job yourself. And that's what we'll celebrate on the 25th of this month. That God the Son becomes incarnate, takes on our humanity, our human flesh, while still remaining God, becomes like us in all things but sin, so that that harmony between us and God will be restored. And not just restored, but now elevated. The sacredness now to our humanity, because the Word of God has become flesh and has lived among us. On today's solemnity about the Immaculate Conception of Mary, this is not about the conception of Jesus. But we hear in the Gospel reading about her fiat of the Annunciation. Rather, it is her being born or being created free of original sin. The sin of the first man, the first woman, that desire to use our free will for our own selfishness, to take the place of God. And you don't need a doctorate in theology to know that that's something that we all struggle with. We're freed from it at baptism, cleansed of it in the waters of baptism, but then our life of faith is that call to holiness is to overcome the effects of that sin. Today we proclaim, as part of our Catholic faith, that Mary is born free of that original sin. And as any good Catholic understanding about the devotion to Mary, as this one is that it's really not about Mary. It's about Jesus. Because if Jesus was just a learned rabbi, social reformer, wise teacher, philosopher, peasant revolutionary, or whatever, then there's no need for Mary to be born free of original sin. But because we say that Jesus is the Word of God become flesh for our salvation, that God to be present in her, she must be free of this original sin. God saves her in this manner and preserves her. So she can say yes to the invitation and bring forth the Word made flesh to us. Today also begins for us as the Universal Church, what we're referring to as the extraordinary Jubilee Year of Mercy. Normally we have a special year of prayer and devotion about every quarter of a century, every 25 years. But Pope Francis has decreed that this is going to be something extraordinary. I guess that's one of the perks you get when you're a pope, is that you can go ahead and declare a year to be an extraordinary year, Jubilee Year, and to focus upon God's mercy. And Pope Francis talks about how Jesus is the face of the Father's mercy. And mercy is when God reaches out and touches us. Touches us in our sin, our fear, our anger, our despair, and transforms our lives, restoring that harmony for which we were created, in which Jesus sheds his blood upon the cross for, in which Jesus gives himself to us, his body, blood, soul, and divinity today in the Eucharist. This year of mercy that begins today. So particularly we're called through our prayer, our study, our devotion to open our hearts, our lives, and maybe in a particular way to be touched by God's mercy, maybe in ways we haven't anticipated before, and to ponder what in our lives calls out for transformation through the mercy of God. And who in our lives needs our mercy for us to reach out and to touch them in their fear, in their sin, in their shame, in their despair. That we, like Mary, become conduits of grace to bring forth the face of mercy to one another. May through her intercession, that of Mary, the mother of Jesus, may we be open to God's grace of mercy in this holy year and become a means of grace for one another.